Good evening, everybody. Are you there? Because from where we're standing or sitting, we can't see any of you. So we're just assuming there's some people out there. So it's lovely to see you. My name's Stephen, the minister here. Claire is next to me here. And Eileen is on the piano over there. And Andrew's playing the organ over there. And we're all really pleased that you've been able to come here tonight. Last year, it was pouring down with rain, and only half of you made it, and that's fine. Tonight, it's lovely to see a whole group of different people here gathered to remember the Christmas story, to sing carols which tell all about Jesus, and our theme tonight is being prepared, what the preparations that God has made for Christmas. So I'm just going to say a prayer, and then we're going to have a look at these candles. Father God, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the opportunity to remember the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you will help us to pray, to sing, to hear your word, to enter into this special moment, to meet you, to know that you are here with us. Amen. This Christmas, we've been asking the question, where is love in this world? And the answer comes from God in the Bible. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son that we might live through him. Love is found in Jesus. Who he is and what he's done for us. He's made it possible for us to live through him. That's why Jesus is the greatest gift, and you'll see that on the leaflets that are on your chairs. Next Sunday morning, on Christmas Eve at 10:30, we're celebrating the gift in our nativity service. At 11:30, our midnight service, we're going to be focusing on God delivering the gift. And on Christmas Day, we're going to be looking at unwrapping the gift, as there's so much unwrapping that goes on Christmas Day. Tonight, we're looking at God's preparations for the gift to be given. Jesus is the Son of God, the greatest gift, an indescribable gift. But there was a lot of preparation made for this gift to come. If we really want to bless somebody, we take a lot of time and trouble to find the right gift, wrapping it up and delivering it at the right time. And that's exactly what God has done. He loves everyone in the whole world so much that it took a long time and a lot of preparation to give us the gift of Jesus. He spoke to us through people, and he also spoke to us through angels. And the angels are still singing. Are we listening? And that's the first carol we're going to stand and sing together. It came upon a midnight clear. As we're singing carols tonight, sometimes we have one on their own, sometimes two or three. Feel free to sit or to stand, whichever is best for you. It came upon a midnight clear.
Came upon a midnight clear, night clear.
you'll see that we have three candles lit here at the front,
which is on our Advent candle calendar. It's remembering the people that God used to prepare the gift. Each Sunday, the light grows as we light one more candle, all pointing to Jesus. The first candle was for the patriarchs. More than 4,000 years ago, God chose a man and a woman, Abraham and Sarai, to be the people through whom the gift, their descendant, would be born. And God made them an unconditional promise that all nations would be blessed through him. It took until Abraham was 100 and Sarai was 90 until Isaac arrived. But he did. And then Jacob, and then their sons, and eventually so did Jesus. Second candles to the prophets. God poured his Holy Spirit upon many different people. These people were inspired to speak the word of the Lord, to tell us that Jesus was coming, where he would be born, where he would live, how he would die, and that he would rise again to save us. And Valerie is going to bring us some readings from the prophet Isaiah.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you, Father.
That's right, that's right, no problem. We're just making sure we have nobody falling down in the dark today, because everything else is happening, so why not people falling over as well? So, the third candle is lit for John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, born to Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were both well on in years. 400 years after the end of the Old Testament, he came to God's people to prepare them for the gift, as it is written in the words of Isaiah the prophet, of a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley should be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. And so there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. This is Jesus, and our next song is Like a Candle Flame.
Like a
Next Sunday, we'll light the fourth candle, which remembers Mary, a young girl, a virgin, who was visited by an angel to prepare her for the most momentous event in history so far. Thank you, Sheila.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Betrothed meaning virtually fully married in their culture. And he was greatly disturbed to hear that Mary, his betrothed, was going to have a baby. And the father wasn't him. So God needed to prepare Joseph as well as prepare Mary for the arrival of this greatest gift. Jean's going to tell us how God prepared Joseph.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife.
The name Jesus means "the Lord saves." Jesus came to save us from our sins. The prophet also told us he'd be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Sometimes parents choose their names only when they've been born. I said to my wife, Leslie, that if we had a girl, I would like to call her Maria, a couple of years before we had children. But God chose the name of Jesus hundreds of years before he was born. Claire and I are going to sing a song. I hope I'll be able to sing it. If not, Claire will be singing it.
since the day the angel came, just to ponder what Mary made of all that had gone on. Ladies, do sit down. Thank you.
So bitter yet so sweet. precious mama. In the air, on that starry night. And each hearing shall sing not so far away, till at last the sun rose blood red in the morning sky.
The prophet Micah told us 700 years before Jesus was born where it was he would be born. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Bethlehem was a little insignificant town a few miles outside of Jerusalem, except that it was the birthplace of King David, and Jesus was prophesied to be a descendant of David. God prepared the way for Mary and Joseph to leave the village of Nazareth in Galilee, in the north of the country, and make their long journey to Bethlehem by using a census ordered by the Roman authorities, which meant that everyone had to go to their hometown. Mary and Joseph were both descended from David, so that's where they had to go, 9 months pregnant or not. Josie is going to read for us about how Jesus arrived.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census would be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
So that's why we're going to be singing our next couple of songs about coming to Bethlehem. O come, all ye faithful.
Oh.
singing, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Two carols we just sung are triumphant carols. And Christmas is a mixture of triumphant and joyful and also mysterious and contemplative. It's a time to, as we were reminded the other Sunday evening, it's a time to linger at the manger. And I invite you to stay seated for this next song we're going to sing, which is Silent Night, helping us to reflect on what this song is all about. how God prepared for the giving of this greatest gift over thousands of years. He also prepared two sets of witnesses to the arrival of the gift. Both of them were very unlikely, and they were very different from one another. Dave is going to bring us our first reading about the first group of witnesses.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, David. Our next carol retells that wonderful story, "While Shepherds Watched."
Yeah.
Fritter's moment. He's been waiting for this. We've just heard how a heavenly host, thousands of angels, praising God, appearing in the sky. Well, God prepared something else to appear in the sky for our second group of witnesses. These were magi, educated men, astrologers, stargazers from the east. God used the appearance of a new star in the sky to get their attention. They correctly interpreted it as being a sign that a new king of the Jews has been born. It's amazing how God prepared people to witness the birth of Jesus. And Richard's going to tell us a little bit more.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called them together, all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me. I too must go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you, Richard. And our next carol, again, tells that story. The First Noel.
Where they lay in their sheep.
I think the Magi had a long, long journey and put a lot of effort into arriving for Jesus, so the least we could do is sing a hymn like that that gives a bit of effort. God made all the preparations necessary for his son to come. And then he did. He arrived in the right place at the right time. When he was 33 years old, he died in the right way, at the right place, for the right reasons, to save us. In the words of our last carol, "And with his blood, mankind hath bought." It says in the Bible, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We cannot celebrate the birth of Jesus, the giving of the greatest gift, without looking at what he came to do: to die for us, so that we might have life, new birth, an opening into heaven as children of God. And this carol, perhaps above all carols, describes what Jesus has done for us. Hark, the herald angels sing. Jesus is the greatest gift. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God made all his preparations for this greatest gift to be given to everyone on earth, including you, including me. He holds this gift out to you today. Will you accept his gift? Will you put your faith in Jesus, the Savior who takes away all your sins? Will you put your faith in the Lord, Emmanuel, God with us? You can live through him forever. It is more than possible. It will definitely happen if you accept this free gift, the greatest gift there has ever been and ever could be. I wonder what your response to Christmas is. Do you have the joy of the shepherds who just couldn't help shouting about it and telling everybody about it? Do you have the devotion and persistence of the Magi to keep going, even through the desert places? Are you pondering and treasuring these things in your heart, like Mary and Joseph? In a moment of quiet, I invite you to make your own heart response to Jesus. You know what he's saying to you. Respond to him this evening. Our next song will be sat down for, and then we've got one more to finish that we'll stand if you're able to. This one invites the question, what can I give to Jesus in the blue midwinter?
Frosty winter.
Jesus receives your gift. Your love, your attention, your sorries, and your pleases, and your thank yous. He receives the gift of your heart, and always will. A final carol, which often starts carol services, but we're finishing with it, takes us from the birth of Jesus through following him day by day as children of God until eventually a foretaste of heaven where we will be one day through faith in Jesus. Feel free to sit or stand to sing this last song.
Where a mother
God bless you with the gift of faith in Jesus this Christmas. May God bless you with the gift of joy in Jesus this Christmas. And may God bless you with the gift of peace in Jesus this Christmas. Amen.